Okay, we're starting here on the top of Zayin Amunah by the two dots. The Gemara here is continuing to discuss the Braita that we brought yesterday with regards to how many violations you have when a person is Makdish and Makriv, a Balmum ala Mizbeach. So the Tana Kama was of the view that you had five violations, which is what we discussed at the end of yesterday's daf. What are those five violations and how do we learn those five violations? And then at the end, there's a statement by Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda that there's actually a sixth violation, which is Kabbalat Adam. And so for the Tana Kama, the five violations that you have are that if you're Makdishit, if you're Shuchetet, if you're Makriv Miksato, Makriv Kulo, and Zrikat Adam. Those are the five. The added one for Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is Kabbalat Adam. Now yesterday we discussed the sources for the Tana Kama's position. Now the Gemara wants to understand what is the source for Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda's position that Kabbalat Adam is also included. Now this goes to the fact that we had a number of psukim that are written in Parshat Emor with regards to Mumim. And in there we mentioned yesterday that there are three psukim that use the term Lo Takrivu. And that is Kol Asher Bo Mum Lo Takrivu. There's also the pasuk of Averet Ushavura Charut Yabelet Ugarabu Yalefet Lo Takrivu. And then there's another one which is in Pasuk Chavdalet Ma'uch V'Katuv V'Natuv Karut Lo Takrivu LaHashem Bartzachem Lo Tasu. So the Tanakhama only used two of those Lo Takrivu. He used the first one to tell you that you're not allowed to be Makdish a Baal Mum LeMizbeach, and he's the second one to teach you that you're not allowed to Shech a Baal Mum. It's for the Mizbeach. And so now Amar Mar Mishum Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Af Kabbalat Adam. So that's also included in the Surim that you would violate in processing a Baal Mum LeMizbeach. My time with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Makra. He quotes the last of the three psukim that we quoted, which is Ma'uch V'Katut V'Natuch V'Karut, leaves out the piece that's important over here, which are the next two words, Lo Takrivu, Hashem Barzachem Lo Tasu, Zo Kabbalat Adam. Shama Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. That's a reference to Kabbalat Adam, which actually works out well with what we learned in the beginning of Masechet Zvachim as well, which is that we learned Kabbalat Adam from the word Hakrava. That the word Hakrava over there, and also over here, the word Hakrava, or Tov Takrivu, includes an Isur of Kabbalat Adam. To Kabbalat Adam, Shema Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. And that's the reference to the Kabbalat Adam, or the Isur of Kabbalat Adam, that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda mentions. O the Tanakama, Hai Lo Takrivu Lomali. So now for the Tanakama, he has this third Lo Takrivu. Why does he need Lo Takrivu if he already has two that he's used? And he's not using this Lo Takrivu. Mibayle l'zrikat damim. He needs that for zrikat hadam. That's one of the five things that he mentioned. Only problem is, v'anafkele mi'al mizbeach. We yesterday learned that out from ala mizbeach. From pasuk chabet, averet, o shavur, o charut, so yabelet, o garav, o yalefet, Lo Takrivu, which is the restriction against doing shchita v'abal mun mizbeach. Ela l'ashem, v'isheh lo titnu. From there we learned out that you're not allowed to be maktir, the entirety of the animal, or the entirety of the emurim. And then mehem taught us that you're not allowed to be maktir, even miksato. Ala mizbeach taught us zrikat adam. Hashem was the riboy for sira mishtaleach. So zrikat adam, we already learned, me ala mizbeach. So then why do you need Lo Takrivu to tell you about zrikat adam? Where it says, orche dekra de mishtay achi. The Ala Mizbeach is not a unique statement in the Pasuk that is open for a drasha. It's a linguistic style of the Torah, literary style of the Torah, that Ala Mizbeach makes sense to say. It's not coming to give you any additional information. And therefore, you can't learn something from that as if it was extraneous or unnecessary. That's why he learns out of Lo Takrivu's Rikat Adam, where it says, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Nami Orchi Dekra. Who? Well, then doesn't Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda have the same problem, which is that the Ala Mizbeach is also Urchei Dekra? If that's the case, then he needs Lo Takrivu from the Pasuk Chavdal, Ma'uch V'Katud, V'Natuk V'Karud, Lo Takrivu L'Hashem, to teach you the same thing that the Tanakhama learns, which is Rika Tadam. So when it says, Enochanami, you're right. So then, Ela Kabbalat Adam Minale. So then where does he have the riboy for Kabbalat Adam? So Nafkale Meha. He learns it out from the fact that there's actually a fourth Lo Takrivu in that Parshia and Parshat Emor. In Pasuk Chavei, it says, Umiyad ben Nechar, Lo Takrivu et Lechem Elokechem Mikol Hela, Kimashkatam Behem, Mumbam, Lo Yeratzu Lachem. So now there's another Lo Takrivu, and he uses that to tell you that there's a restriction against doing Kabbalat Adam for a Baal Mum. Zikutavat Adam Shamar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. That's the Kabbalat Adam of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Ulatana Kama Hailo Takrivo Lomale. So the obvious question is then, what does the Tanakama do with that extra Lo Takrivo? Mibayle Lahai. He needs it for this issue. Salkadat Chamina, I would have thought, Ho Velonitztavu B'neach Elam Chusay Ibarim. We learned back in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that for a korbanot of a goy, the only disqualifying factor is mechusar ever. That we learned out from Noach when he exits the teva. So the Gemara over there goes through different possibilities as to what the reasoning is. Whether it's that either has to be an animal that was a viable entity, has to be an animal that was similar to Noach, can't be a treifa. From the pasuk of mikol achai mikol basar, and that you have to bring a beima. That chayim roshei avarim shela, it is intact and it's not missing any of its extremities, any of its limbs. The Gemara there goes through different iterations of what the source is for the fact that mechusar eiver is problematic for a ben Noach. And you would have thought that loshna b'mizbeach tidhu, loshna b'mizbeach tidan, that since that's the qualifying factor for a goy, if a goy brings a korban to our mizbeach to donate to Hashem in the Mikdash, maybe the same rules would apply to him that apply to him when he brings it on his own mizbeach, when he brings it on a bama. That is that the only disqualifying factor is mechusar eiver. So maybe also on the mizbeach, the only disqualifying factor would be mechusar eiver, kamash malan. That's what the pasuk tells you, miyad ben nechar. Even when you get it from a non-Jew, lo takriva lechem alokechem mikol eile. You can't bring any of these mumim. They are all disqualifying factors, even when it's a non-Jewish korban. Kimash chatam bahem mumbam lo yiratzu lechem. That's not something that is acceptable to be put on the Mizbeach. And so the Tana Kama uses Lo Takrivo to dispel that Havamina that you would have had, that a goy can bring a Korban with a mum in it on the Mizbeach and the Mikdash. Now there's a Lishna Achrina, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afal Kabbalat Adam. My Taima, where does he learn that from? Dichtiv, Ma'och V'Katut, same thing or same way that we did it before, which is the extra Lo Takrivo over there. Ma'och v'katuv v'natuk v'charot Lo Takrivo l'Hashem v'artzachem Lo Tasu Lo Takrivo zu kabbalat adam uzrika nafkalei ma'ala mizbeach. And he learns that zrikat adam from ma'ala mizbeach. Ulera bonon nami tibik lo zrika ma'ala mizbeach. Why don't they learn out zrikat adam from ma'ala mizbeach? Hachanami, they do learn it out from there. Elo Lo Takrivo d'ma'och l'mayato. Why do they need the Lo Takrivo ma'och then? Mafkinan lebamat yachid. They need that for a bamat yachid to teach you that the disqualifications of mumim don't only apply in the Beit HaMikdash or in the Mishkan, but even in a time period where bamot are mutarot, you would still have a restriction against bringing a bamu. That's what it means, lo takrivi. You need the extra lo takrivi to teach you that a bamat yachid has the same din as a bamat atzibur, the same din as the Mikdash and the Mishkan, where mumim are disqualifying factors. And that's why you have Lo Takrivo. Oh, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Amibay le Bamat Yachid. Doesn't Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda also need that Lo Takrivo to teach you about a Bamat Yachid, that it is problematic with regards to a mum? And Ochanami, you're right. Ela Takrivo de Kabbalah Minole. So then where does he have a source from Lo Takrivo for the Kabbalah Tadam? Miyad Ben Nechar. He learns that out from Ben Nechar Lo Takrivo. That's where he learns it out from. Zo Kabbalat Adam, Rabbonon. What are they going to do with that Lo Takrivo of Miyad Ben Nechar Lo Takrivo? Itzrich, they need that for the non-Jew. Sakadat Kaminah Bnei Noach Ein Mitzuvim Ela Mechusar Eiver. Bnei Noach only have a restriction against Mechusar Eiver. Bebama Dilhon. And there, Bama, that's where they can do that. Dilma Ana Nami Nakabel Minhon. Maybe we too will also accept that which they are allowed to bring on their own Bama. We would accept on our Mizbeach. Mashmalan, from this we learn, Mikol Eile Zolo Mekablinan. The remainder of the Pasuk, as we read it before, Miyad Ben Nechar Lo Takrivo Et Lechem Elokechem Mikol Eile. From all those Mumim that were mentioned above, Kimash Katam Behem Mumbam Lo Yiretzu Lechem, that they can't bring those as Korbanot. So now the Balei HaTosafot ask an interesting question over here, which is that the Torah learns from the words Ish Ish, being B'Eit Yisrael, that the Torah learns from there that a goy can bring a korban. And that's from the duplication of the word ish ish. Tosafot says, why do you need that pasuk of ish ish? Why don't you just learn it out of the pasuk over here, which says, umiyad ben nechar lo takrivo. From a ben nechar, you can't accept a korban that's a balmu. The implications of that are that if it wasn't a Baal Mum, you could accept it from him. So why do I need a separate pasuk of ish to tell me that a goy brings a korban? Isn't it obvious from the fact that he is disqualified from bringing a Baal Mum, that means that if he didn't bring a Baal Mum, that he was able to bring the korban, or that the possibility of bringing a korban exists. Tosafot brings an answer over here, which is V'teiretz Rabbeinu Shimshon Bar Avraham. The reason you need the other pasuk is to limit the scope of what a non-Jew can bring. From this pasuk, it would indicate or imply that a goy can bring any korban. As long as it doesn't have a mum in it, he can't bring the korban. Now, the ish mi Beit Yisrael, which is located in the korban ha'olah, starts to tell you that there is a limitation to which korbanot they can bring. And that's why it's important to have the riboy come from there, because there is an opinion that we just saw quoted in Tosafot, the Rabbi Akiva, that a non-Jew can only bring an olah, and can't bring any other korban. And there the Gemara discusses whether there's a possibility of a nizirut or shlamim, whether those are possibilities for a non-Jew. But the ish tells you that there is a certain limitation on his capacity to bring korbanot. Had we just learned out of Miyad ben Nechar, there would have been no limitation. And that's why it's important to have that other pasuk be mirabe, the fact that a goy can bring a korban. A number of things to discuss over here. First of all, the question, which we won't delve into too deeply, which is the question as to why this isn't considered to be one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Right? This is included in one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and yet it says here, Miyad B'nei Char Lo Takrivo. So here you have a restriction against them bringing a Korban with a mum in it on the Mizbeach. So why is this not enumerated amongst the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach? The Baalei Tosafot discuss this in other places and suggest that there is a distinction between a Kumaseh and a Shev Ve'al Taseh, the Ramban. In his arguments on the Rambam with regards to what the enumeration of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach are with regards to Dinim, over there, one of his criticisms of the Rambam's position is that all of the Mitzvot B'nai Noach are a Shev V'al Taseh and a Kum Aseh. And so that's why he suggests over here that this is a Kum Aseh, because here the necessity to bring a Korban that doesn't have a mum in it is generated by a Kum Aseh, which is the fact that you have to be Noder a Korban, and then bring that korban in order to be chayav to follow these rules. And that's not what the Sheva Mitzvah no B'nai Noach are. Sheva Mitzvah Noach are desisting from doing certain things. That's one way to deal with the problem, to say that it's excluded from the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach. Others just simply suggest that these are guidelines telling you as to which type of korban you have to bring. So it's not a mitzvah in and of itself. It's just telling you what is kosher the korban and what is not kosher the korban. The other thing is that maybe it's not included because this is just a restriction with regards to a korban that's brought on our mizbeach. It's not a restriction that exists in a korban or a mizbeach that he brings outside of our framework. So maybe it's uniquely associated with the goy's relationship to our mizbeach and is imposed by us because of what we require in our mizbeach, not because he necessarily is chayav in this mitzvah. So that also could explain why it's not included as one of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. The last possibility is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin notes that there are a number of other opinions of more than Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah claims that there were even many more mitzvot B'nei Noach besides the seven which we discussed over there. So there are more expansive lists of them, and maybe this would be one of those that's included in that list if you really think it is a mitzvah that is associated with a ben Noach. The other thing is just to understand that the two lishonot over here, we just had two lishonot, and the two lishonot divide up how many sets of malkot, or how many isurim there are over here. According to the Tanakhama, at least with regards to the first lashon, you're in violation when you bring a baal mum, your makdishin, and bring it as a korban, you're in violation of five Isurim, and the source for those five Isurim comes from Lo Takrivu means Lo Takdishu, Lo Takrivu means Lo Tishkatu, and then we have a restriction of Bishel Lo Titnu Mehem, which teaches you both Bal Taktiru Kulo and Bal Taktiru Miksato, and then you have an Isur of Zrikat Adam, which we originally thought came from Alam Mizbeach, and then we learned that out also from Lo Takrivu. The last Lo Takrivu tells you that there's no Zrikat Adam. And then the final Lo Takrivu teaches you about a Ben Noach, that he has limitations with regards to the Korban that he brings. That's it based on the first Lashon. And according to Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Yehuda, he has the same restrictions that the Tanakama has, with the exception of the last Batlo Takrivu, which the Tanakama uses for a Ben Nechar. He uses that for Kabbalat Adam, and says there's an additional restriction of Kabbalat Adam in that case. And the intervening question was just with regards to Al HaMizbeach. Where does Zrikat Adam come from? Does it come from Al HaMizbeach, or does it come from Lo Takrivu? In the Lishnach Rino, again, the Tanakama has a belief that there are five Malkiot that you get for bringing a Korban Balmum. You have it for Hakdasha, which is from Lo Takrivu. You have it for Shechita, which is also from Lo Takrivu. And then you have Bal Taktiru Kulo, Bal Taktiru Mixato, which is Mishel Lotinu Mehem. Then Zrikat Adam in the second Lashon does come from Me'al HaMizbeach. That is the source for it. And that's how you get the five restrictions according to this view. And then the other two Bal Takrivus, one of them teaches you that by Bamat Yachid, the Din of Mumim applies. And the other one teaches you that by Ben Nechar, Ben Ben Noach, the Mumim also apply when he brings something to our Mizbeach. And then for Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, the Lo Takrivu also teaches you that there's a problem of Mumim by Bamat Yachid. The second Lo Takrivu is, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, not for a Ben Nechar, not for a Ben Noach, but rather to teach you about Kabbalat Hadam. That's the summary of the two Lishonot that we just described over here. And obviously the Nafka Mina is between how many Malkot that you will get in this situation. And yesterday we discussed the question as to whether you actually do get Malkot for Baal Taktishu. Is there real Malkot? Is it just an Isur? The Rambam seems to indicate there are Malkot. The Sefer Chinuch seems to indicate it's an Isur, but there are no Malkot. And the end of yesterday's daf, as well as seemingly parts of the daf today, seem to indicate that there is Malkot that we're discussing over here. All right, now the Gemara continues with a question, which is Matkif La Reish Lakish. So now, the Matkif La Reish Lakish over here is not a challenge to that which we said above, rather a question. That sometimes the Matkif La is not coming to bring some other source or some other question to undermine what we said before, but rather is trying to clarify that which we said until now. Shema Lo Shaninu Elevitam Shanase Balmu. Maybe we should limit that which we said here, that if you're Makdish, a Balmum, you get Malkot for it. Maybe that should be limited to a case where the animal was originally Kashel Mizbeach, and then it got a Mum. The next word, Bover, probably doesn't belong. If it is in there, then you have to say, Hu de Over, which means that would be a continuation of the previous sentence, which is El Betam Shanase Balmum, Hu de Over. Di Balmum Ikara, if it was a Balmum, congenital Balmum, Dikla Baal Mahu. Then it's no different than a tree. It's no different than a piece of wood. So then why would you think that you could be makrivit as a korban? The way that Rashi describes the difference between it being a tam and then a balmum versus it being a balmum ikara is the mindset of the individual that's being makdishit. A person who's being makdish a balmum, what is he thinking? Rashi says that if it was a tam originally and then it became a balmum, the person's thinking, you know, this probably could go on the mizbeach. And therefore, when he's makdish it with the intent of really getting it on the mizbeach, because it once was a tam. On the other hand, something that was a balmumi kara, the person doesn't have an ahavamina to think that you could be makdish it to the mizbeach. And therefore, it's no different than a dikla balma, meaning it's no different than wood, which you would dedicate to bedekabayit, or you would give its proceeds to bedekabayit. So Rashi claims it has to do with the perspective of the individual. What would they think, or what were they thinking when they were makdish, this balmum, the mizbeach? And he claims that, based on what Reish Lakish is saying here, is that if you had a balmum ikara, you were not thinking mizbeach, but it was a tam, and then a balmum, it turned into a balmum, and then you're makdish it, there you might have had a mindset to put it on the mizbeach. And that's what creates this distinction that Reish Lakish is trying to propose over here. The Baal Tosafot are bothered by Rashi's explanation because he says, in order to get Malkot over here, you need Hatra'ah, you need a warning. And so what's exactly happening over here? How can you speak about the mindset of the individual when the people have to come and warn him and tell him, if you're Makdish this animal, then you're going to get Malkot for being Makdish this animal. And he says, I don't care, I know that, and I'm still going to do it. So once a person does that, then they're fully aware that whatever they're doing is either efficacious, not efficacious, allowed to be done, not allowed to be done. To speak about a mindset, what he was thinking, that he thought this was this way, this was that way, that's only relevant if you don't have anybody prompting him. But over here, in order to have hatra'ah, you have to prompt the individual. And based on that prompting, there's no way that he made a mistake over here. He had to acknowledge whatever they're saying and say, despite what you're saying, I want to do this. And he's basically accepting the malkot in that case. It means that he's very aware of what he's doing. So he tells the vote does not like that distinction of Rashi. And then he says, L'chein nirel aram, the Faresh, the Lokai Rabbi Shimon Lakish about Taktishu. That Reish Lakish's question is not about the Haktasha, the sanctification of the animal, Ela about Taktiru ubal Tazriku. It has to do with the latter Levin that we discussed in the Braita. So you're right, by Bal Taktishu, it's clear that the guy didn't know or did know, he probably did know what he was doing, and therefore if he was warned and he did it anyway, then he should be Chayav, because he was trying to be Magdisha the Mizbeach. And he didn't make any mistake over here. He knew that it wasn't right, and he did it anyway with the intent to be Magdish the Mizbeach. Then he says that the reference of Reish Lakish here is to the other Lavin that are included over here, including Baal Taktiru, which is not putting it on the Mizbeach, and Baal Tazriku, which is putting the Dam on the Mizbeach. About Baal Mo Meikara, Kodem Kedusha, Dikla Baalmohu, Dolomesika Date, the Chazila Krava, Velo Laki. It says that when it comes to a Baal Mo Meikara, it's not ro'oi the Mizbeach, and there's no way this person would ever intend to put it on the Mizbeach as a Korban, because he knows that it's disqualified as a Korban, and therefore his putting on the Mizbeach can't be a violation, as opposed to where it was a Tami Ikara and then a Balmum, there he might make the mistake that it's ro'oi the Hakrava. And that is the distinction that Reish Lakish is trying to draw over here, whether he thinks it's Chazila Krava or he thinks it's not Chazila Krava. I'm not sure that Tosafot's answer really gains so much, because you have the same problem again, which is, didn't they warn him? And if they warned him about the Hakrava, then he would know. What does that mean, that he thought it was a Baal Hakrava? He didn't think it was a Baal Hakrava. Again, if you want him to get Malkot, then you need to speak to him and give him Hatra'ah. Give him Hatra'ah, then he's very aware of what he's doing, and he's intending to do it despite the fact that you told him it's wrong, and you can't claim that he doesn't think that it's a Baal HaKrava, or he does think it's a Baal HaKrava. They make it clear through the Hatra'ah that he's trying to put it on the Mizbeach, which is something that he can't do. Now, Tosfot will claim that it's different over here. He says, yes, I'm putting it on the Mizbeach, but in one instance, I'm putting it on Baal HaKrava. In one case, I'm putting it on for its monetary worth. Anyway, the Tosfot tries to shift the focus. I'm not sure it gains so much by doing that. The Sfat Emet, on the other hand, has an interesting way of dealing with it over here and saying that the reason that you would differentiate is because Rava the Shitato. Rava earlier told us that with regards to things that you do against the will of the Torah, they're not efficacious. Over here we have a specific pasuk that tells you that despite the fact that you're going against the Torah, it still works. And despite the fact that you're not supposed to do this, we still say that it works and it's effective and you get malkot for it. So this is a chiddush according to Rava. Therefore, what Reish Lakish is pointing out is, according to Rava, that this is a chiddush, any time you have a chiddush, you take the least chiddush that you can take. And that is the least chiddush over here would be say that this din only applies when you're makdish, something that was a tam that turned into a balmum. But something that was always a balmum, that it wouldn't apply because you want to limit the scope of the chiddush that you have over here. That's how the Sfat Emet explains this distinction that Reish Lakish is making. Not particular to any of the cases, but simply about a broader perspective on the fact that whenever you have a chidush, we try to limit the chidush. Now, the response to Reish Lakish is, Amar Lei Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, the pasuk says, Sarua veKalut k'tiv baParsha. Amongst the mumim that are mentioned there are Sarua and Kalut, as we learned earlier in Chulin and in Bechorot. Sarua is asymmetric evarim in the animal, and kalut is a non-split hoof, a rounded hoof. So those are both mentioned in the mumim over here. And vahani bale mumim eikarninu. Those are congenital problems. Those aren't problems that develop over time. That's not a tam that turns into a baal mum. These are congenital problems, which means that it was a baal mum eikara. And even though it's a baal mum eikara, it's still mentioned the psukim here as baal takrivo, that you're not allowed to put on mizbech. It's mentioned amongst these mumim. Samalei, so now Reish Lakish alters the question a little bit and says, Shema lo shaninu elabit mura. Maybe this whole parshia of these restrictions against being makdish, a baal mum, the mizbeach, is only in the case when you do it through tmura. It's not chomer bit mura mi be kodashim or mibizevach, the tmura is more chamur than a normal form of makdish, shukain kdusha chalalea alba mum kavua. If tmura is successful at having kdusha devolve upon an animal, even if it is a baal mum kavua, it's a baal mum mi'ikara. So the thought would be here that this din that we're expressing here, that a makdish baal mum le mizbeach, is only relevant when you did it through the mechanism of tmura. If you tried to exchange kdusha from one animal to another animal, and the recipient animal was a baal mum, you will be successful at transferring that kdusha, and you will be makdish it despite the fact that it is a baal mum. And even though it was a baal mum ikara, the kdusha is chal to the point now you have to redeem it, and then it has the rules of hekdesh post-redemption, like any other hekdesh that had a mum in it that you have to redeem. Unlike what the Mishnah says, that kol mum kavua, anytime the mum kavua preceded the hekdesh, over there we say that the hekdesh does not devolve upon the animal, and when you're poded and the animal goes completely to chulin. There's no residual kedusha there. That's in regular hekdesh. But by tmura, it really works so powerfully that it even overcomes the problem of a mum beforehand. So what Reish Lakish suggests is, maybe the whole din or the whole restriction against being magdish, a baal mum mizbeach, is only if you do that through the mechanism of tmura. Because there you are successful at creating kedusha, taguf, kedusha that is residual even after you redeem it. I mean, it has the kedusha like any other kodoshim. And so that's why you'd be in violation. But if you simply try to, from a standing start, be makdish, an animal that has a mum in it, that type of hakdasha is very limited. You have to redeem the animal, but it doesn't have residual kedusha in it, so you'd say the chulin. So maybe over there, this din doesn't apply. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, lo shmei lecha hadamai Rabbi Yanai, b'chabura nimnu. Didn't you hear what Rabbi Yanai said, that they got the group of the chachamim together, and they took a head count, they took a vote, and they came to the conclusion, gamru. Magdish baal mum negabe mizbeach. Someone is magdish a baal mum negabe mizbeach, which is the case we're speaking about. Over mishum chamisha shemot. You're in violation of the five lavin, or five restrictions that we spoke about. Baal taktishu, baal tishkatu, baal taktiru miksato, baal taktiru kulo, and zrikat adam. Those are the five that we mentioned before. Ve'i bitmura. If you think the only way that this restriction applies is if you did it through the mechanism of tmura, say then, nami shisha habyan. So, if you think there's also tmura over here, there should be six violations. Dika nami lav de tmura. Because then you can add in of lo yachifenu velo yamiroto. You have another lav that you can throw into the pile, and there should be six lavin over here. The absence of the restriction of tmura over here tells you that that's not how it's happening. It's telling you that the haktasha happened from a standing start, from zero, and it wasn't a tmura where you're trying to transfer the kedusha over. So your assumption is incorrect. Elamai bebaal mum meikaro. So then, what are you going to tell me? The situation, the story here is that he's makdish, even a baal mum meikaro, which is now the conclusion from the two statements of Reish Lakish, both of which were rejected. Now you would come to the following conclusion. Number one, baal mum meikaro is no different than a tam and then a baal mum, because sarua bekalut are mentioned in the parsha as one of the, as the mumim. And number two is, it's not tmura that's generating it, it's regular haktasha that's generating the problem. So that would suggest that now if you're makdish, a baal mumi ikaro, then it's still problematic. Am I lucky? Why would you get malkod for doing such a thing? Dikla baal mahu. Back to the basic question, which is, it's a piece of wood. And if it's a piece of wood, what did you do wrong here when you're makdish it, the mizbech? It's clearly not going on the mizbech. It's clearly not rolling the mizbech. For Rashi, that means that your mindset is clearly not to put on the mizbeach, but rather to monetize it. And therefore, why should you be chayav? Why should you get makot over here? Or, according to the Balei Tosafot, you would never think that it is ra'ui l'hakrava over here. That would not be your mindset. And Amalei, the comparison you're making is just incorrect. Now, when it comes to dikla, it's very different than a baal mum ikaro. Dikla lav zil lamilta. The dikla is not a subpar performance or some denigration of the mitzvah, because minetzimho, it's a type of wood. This is the only type of wood. It's the fullest or the best that you can bring from in its category. And even though, yes, there are etzim that go on the mizbeach of korban, this is not differentiated from that item. And therefore, when you're makdish that for its monetary means in order to bring a korban on the mizbeach, that is not a subpar hakdasha. because you brought the best item that you could from this category, and you're utilizing that to monetize it and bring a korban. But on the other hand, bal mumi kara zila milta. When you bring a bal mumi kara, that's a subpar item within its category. Came into shavik tamim b'akdesh bali mumim, because within its category, it's not the best of its category, and therefore, if you're trying to generate a korban through this item by monetizing it and then bringing it as a korban, your approach is wrong. You're not bringing the best of the animals or the best of the category. You're bringing the worst or what would be otherwise problematic in the category. You're bringing that to monetize it and then bring something to the mizbeach. That means the source of the korban that's going onto the mizbeach is coming from something that's subpar, something that is not the best in its category. And therefore, mechayev, that's what generates the malkot over here. It's not the fact that you are, according to Rashi, makdish something that you thought could go on to the mizbeach, but rather, even though you know it can't go on the mizbeach, and even though you're makdish it for its monetization, nevertheless, it's problematic because you brought not the best, but something that's a subpar, mizulzal, something that is below the standards that we would expect for you to bring to be the source of a korban that's going on the mizbeach, as opposed to a tzim or a dikla, which is on par or on level with the best of its category, and therefore it's considered to be shalem, considered to be good enough to be the item to monetize and then bring a korban from it, because that is a good source for bringing a korban on the mizbeach. The ishnachrina, there is another version of this, which is amalei afilu hachi bazi amilta. Even though, yes, the balmum is the same as a dikla, there's a difference between them in that this is something that is unacceptable, that is something that is disgraceful to be brought on the mizbeach. And the reason being is because what you're trying to get on the mizbeach is a behema. You're trying to get an animal. That's the proper, the best type of korban that you're trying to bring. Therefore, when it comes to dekel, deleka vimino, where there's nothing categorically about it that's similar to a behema, then when you bring the dekel to monetize it and bring a behema with it, that's considered to be appropriate. Therefore, lo loki. Then you don't get malkot. Afuke balmum came in deika bimino, as opposed to a balmum where you're bringing an animal. The animal is the item that you want to get on the mizbeach. And then you chose to bring a balmum instead of bringing a tam, because deika bimino, in its category, another behemah could have been ra'oi itself to go on the mizbeach. Then why not bring the item that goes on the mizbeach rather than bringing something which is subpar, disgraceful in the fact that you're bringing a balmum to monetize to get to the animal that you want on the mizbeach? Just bring a proper animal, because this is the same category, the same animal that you would have brought to go on the mizbeach. Just know that Rashi does express it in a much stronger language, in which he says that the etzim don't have anything in their category that would end up on the mizbeach, whereas by the balmum, the animals do have something in their category that ends up on the mizbeach. We didn't necessarily explain it that way because of the fact that even by etzim, there are etzim that end up on the mizbeach. And therefore, we explained it that it means that the etzim are not a korban in the sense of a korban behema. And therefore, they're not ra'oi for the intended purpose in this case. Even though they might be ra'oi for the mizbeach, they're not ra'oi for the intended purpose. So that's why we expressed it in a less extreme manner in order to accommodate that issue that there are etzim that end up on the mizbeach. But just know that Rashi expresses it as saying that etzim have nothing in their category that goes on the mizbeach, whereas balmum does have something in its category that goes on the mizbeach. And in the end, the two lishonot are pointing in the same direction, just a nuance in the way that it is expressed. In the first case, you're expressing it as being a problem that the dekel, as opposed to the behemah, the dekel is the best of its category, and by the behemah, you're not bringing the best of its category. In the second lishon, the problem is that a dekel or etzim are not in the category of the animal you want to get on the mizbeach. And since they're a different category, it's not disgraceful to bring them to monetize in order to bring the behemah. On the other hand, when you're bringing a balmum, a behemah balmum, you bring something from the exact same category, which would be a bizayon or disgraceful to do such, when you should have just brought the tam instead of monetizing a balmum. And so that's the difference between the two lishonot. So Amar Rava, Rava now wants to extrapolate from what we just said, that the whole reason over here that a balmum mikaro is disqualified when you're makdishit, or in essence, what's the problem being makdish a balmum, is not because inherently there's a problem being makdish balmum, rather because it's something that is inappropriate, something that is disgraceful. That's why you're a chayav. So let's extrapolate that and say, so that if Hashta damar time of the balmum de lucky mishum de bazia milta or de zila milta. It's because of that problem. Afilu lemakdishle the dmei nesachim namiloki. Then if for that reason, if you even makdish it to be monetized in order to bring from that proceeds nisachim on the mizbeach, that still should end up with malkot over here. So even though, number one, nisachim can't be brought on the mizbeach like an animal, so it's not like there's this issue of any other option, nevertheless, it's still problematic. And number two is, even though you're doing it for its monetary worth, but because it's monetary worth for something that goes on the mizbeach, that's also going to be disqualifying because it's inappropriate. The baal mum should not be the vehicle by which you bring something on the mizbeach, whether that means the baal mum itself, or whether that means the monetization of the baal mum to bring the sachim on the mizbeach. Any of those are appropriate to be brought towards the mizbeach, and you should get makot, because that's bazio milta or zila be milta. Those are inappropriate. Those are unacceptable types of hakdashot towards the mizbeach. And Tosfot goes on to say over here that it's hua din makdish to dmei olah. That would be the same thing if he was makdish it to use the proceeds for an olah. It's no different than nisachim than an olah. Nisachim just happens to be a little bit of a bigger chiddush, because it's not something that has other alternatives within its category. And hamakdish nekeva lola, or someone's makdish a female animal, olot or only zecharim. Someone's makdish a female animal, imacher ve'itlu damav lola. You have to sell it, monetize it, bring the ola with the proceeds, and then you have to get malkot, because it's again zilaba milta. All of these examples, according to the Balei Tosafot, are going to be problematic based on Rava's extrapolation of the din over here, which is using a baal mum to get something on the mizbeach is inappropriate. And therefore, you're going to get malkot for it. Now, Mar says, Tanya kavote de Rava. We have a braita that is supportive of Rava's contention over here. You look in the Shita Mikubetzet, he changes the gear over here not to be a braita that is supportive of Rava, rather, kitanae. This is actually a machloket tanaim, which is that we're now going to show that Rava's contention over here is not muskam nakol, rather a machloket tanaim. And he says, Bezoihu Ikar. He says that's the better girsa in the Gemara. Not to say that we have a braita supporting Rava, but rather that we have a braita that is now going to indicate there's a machloket tanaim. Nidava tase oto. The pasuk, and we're going to be darshaning the words in this pasuk, shor vese sarua vikalut. Nidava tase oto. Ule neder lo yiratse. So the Gemara learns, Nidava tase oto, ze koche bedakabait. A baal mum is appropriate to be brought as bedakabait. That's only true if you say harezo, that this item is going to be the bedek habayit. Neder minayin. How do I know it's appropriate to use a baal mum to fulfill a neder to the bedek habayit? Tamanomar ule neder. They're reparsing the pasuk. Instead of writing nidavat haseuto ule neder lo yiratzeh, they're saying nidavat haseuto ule neder. And both a nidava and a neder are appropriate usages of a baal mum as long as it's going to bedek habayit. Now, yochol afilu kodshe mizbeach, you would think maybe even kodshe mizbeach would be appropriate usage of the baal mum. That's tamalomar ule neder lo yiratzeh, that it's not ro'oi for a neder, ritzoi. It's talking about ritzoi. Ritzoi is only with regards to the mizbeach, and it's saying that it's not appropriate or not used for ritzoi. Ze kodshe mizbeach. Ben le'le neder, you can't use it for a neder. It means that if you obligate yourself in order to bring a korban, you can't use this to fulfill the korban. Nidavamanayin. How do I know if you say, harezo, ola, how do I know that that also doesn't work? Tamalomar, nidava. So again, they're reading it in a similar vein, which is, nidava, and then they leave out taseuto, ula neder lo yiratzeh. Both a nidava and a neder, it's not ra'oi, or that in the nidava, asher taseuto, o neder lo yiratzeh. Rashi even keeps the word taseuto, which is, if you make it into a nadava, or to a neder, lo yiratzeh, it will not work, and that's because it doesn't belong as kodshei mizbeach. Rabbi Omer, lo yiratzeh, ratzat gufo, akaduv nidaber. It's speaking about whether it's ra'oi for its guf to end up on the mizbeach. Now, we have here the opinion of the Tanakama, and we have the opinion of Rabbi. Both of them seem to be saying the same thing. The Tanakama says, you can use a baal mum for bedek habayit, you can't use it for the mizbeach. And then along comes Rabbi and says, well, when it says, lo yiratzeh, ratzat gufo, akotu midaber, It's saying that the animal's goof itself is disqualified from going on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara says about that, Hainu Tanakama. What's the difference between Rabbi and the Tanakama? My la bahaka miflagei. Must be that this is what they're arguing about. The Tanakama sabar. So the Tanakama believes, afilu akdashed d'mei nisachim nami loki. Tanakama, like Rava's contention, says that even if you're makdishit for the value, in order to use those proceeds to bring nisachim on the Mizbeach, you still get malkot for doing such a thing with a baal mum. Ve'rabi savar ba'atzak gufo loki. Only when it has to do with the goof of the animal. Aval b'dnei nisachim lo loki. But when you're coming to monetize the animal, then you don't get malkot. Shma mina. So from here you see. Now, if you say tanae, then shma mina means it's pretty clear here that this is a machloket tanaim. On the other hand, if you say that it's tanya kavata de rova, then you have a position of the Tanakama that's supportive of Rava, but the problem with saying that is that you have Rabbi who dissents from that opinion. If that's the case, then it's not necessarily a support for Rava, it just means that there is a Tana that has a similar view to that which Rava has, which is that the restriction here is not simply a restriction to put the Baal Mum on the Mizbeach, it's also a restriction to use this Baal Mum in any way to facilitate something getting on the Mizbeach. That's whether it itself goes on the Mizbeach, whether it's monetized and those monies are then used to put something on the Mizbeach. Both of those are problematic according to the Tanakama. That's similar to the view of Rava, that it's Bizayon Milta, it's Zilaba Milta, it's inappropriate. On the other hand, Rabbi says that when you say it's inappropriate, that's to put the Baal Mum itself on the Mizbeach. That's what's inappropriate. To monetize it for usage for things that go on the Mizbeach, that's not considered to be something that's inappropriate, unacceptable, because the animal itself, you never intend to put on Mizbeach, it's just the monetization of it that will end up on the Mizbeach, and therefore Rava's contention is actually a machloket tanaim. Now the Gemara continues to dash in the pasuk and says, Ve'elo oto lamali. What does the word oto teach you over there? It says, nidava tase oto, ule neder lo yiratse. What does that oto mean over there? So the Gemara says, "Tanya, we use it for the following brayta: Nidava tase oto, oto tase nidava, viata use tamim nidava the berek abayid." It's telling you that exclusively a baal mum is something that should be nidava tase oto, dedicated to the berek abayid. That is to the exclusion of a tamim that should not be mukdash the berek abayid. Mikan amru. From here they conclude, "Amakdish tim tamimim the berek abayid over basay." Someone who's magdish, a tamim, the berek abayit, violates an assay. It's an isur assay. The assay is that a baal mum should be given to berek abayit. The implicit outcome of that is that a tamim should not be given to the berek abayit. That's an isur that derives from an assay. It's called an isur assay, which is equivalent of an assay. Minayin af balot assay. How do I know that there's also a negative restriction against doing such a thing? Shneemar vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. That's the beginning of the parsha over there. Limed al parsha kula shibalav. So there you learn that the whole parsha is covered by a lav. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Amarle Rabbi the Bar Kappara. My mashma. What did he just say? How did you get a lav out of that pasuk vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor? How do you learn from that that there's a lav on the parsha? Amarle dichtiv lemor. It says the word lemor, lo ne'mar badvarim, that lo has been said over here, which basically means that the parshia, it's pointing to say that there's something in this parshia that is also a negative precept. There's a lo taseh said in this parsha that is not expressed as a lo taseh. And since we have this derivative din that comes out of the divine lo taseh oto creates an isra say, we say that the lo that's hidden in the parsha is exactly that. Something we already know is problematic, but now you have an extra lav that's said about it. Bei Rav Amre, from the Beit Midrash of Rav, they said it's the lav amur. That lav amur means that it's as if there was a lotaseh placed here. The difference between them seems to be that the first explanation says lo ne'amar badvarim, that lo is said about this particular item. The other way that Bei Rav is expressing it is that anything that's found in this parshia is subject to a lav or to a lotaseh because it's lav amur. There's something negative said that anything in this parshia that you're not supposed to do, there's a lav associated with it. And therefore everything is covered by this lav. the Balei Tosafot not here, but in other places ask, well, then seems like everything's a lav. I mean that their lemor is found throughout the Torah. Every time the Torah says lemor, now you have a lav. You can make almost everything then into the Torah into a lav, because lemor is a pretty frequently used word in the Torah. So Tosafot there limits it to cases in which there's a lav abamichlala say or an isra say in the parshia. Then the word lemor added on top of that produces a lav. Whereas others say that it's only in cases where the lemor is extraneous. Like in Parshio, where you already have the word daber or amarta, so then the word lemor is unnecessary in those situations. That's where you darshan lemor to be a lav, and it wouldn't be in every situation in which the word lemor appears in the Torah. Itmar, mele evarei balei mumim legabi mizbeach. Someone who takes the limbs of a bal mum and puts them on the mizbeach. Amarava aver mishum bal taktiru kulo. This is what we just saw about the five restrictions that are associated with a Baal Mum. Two of those restrictions were Baal Taktiru, which is Baal Taktiru Kulo, Ishe Lotinu, and then Mayhem taught you that even if you put a portion of them on the Mizbeach. So Rabbi says you get a Malkot for each part of that. Get Malkot for putting part of it on, then you get Malkot for putting all of it on. That's because you have two Limudim over here, Ishe Lotinu, and Mayhem. So now you get two sets of Malkot. Even when you put the whole thing on, you captured Bitzato and Kulo. Abaye Amar, en lo kein al lav shebechlalot. You don't get Malkot and a lav shebechlalot. Rashi over here says that means that you don't get two sets of Malkot. You only get one set of Malkot over here because it's a lav shebechlalot. That is actually a two different Girsaot in the Gemara in Psachim and other places where lav shebechlalot is discussed. There are two versions in the Gemara, and those two versions argue about what the statement of the one who says "en lokin alav shebechlalot" means. Does that mean you don't get any malkot at all, or does that mean you get one set of malkot, just not two sets of malkot over here? And Rashi claims that over here, Abaye is saying that you get one set of malkot based on the conclusion from the other sugyot, and Tosafot seconds that and says he thinks Rashi's right about that explanation of Abaye. Gemara says, "Meitave." A magdish bali mumim legavi mizbeach over mishum chamisha shemot. Someone who's magdish a bal mum the mizbeach, he violates five restrictions. Tiyuf to the Abaye, that's a problem for Abaye because we know the five restrictions include bal taktiru kulo and bal taktiru mixato. Amar Abaye vegavrei ktani. Wait a minute, you made a mistake. You thought that the five violations were all committed by one individual. If it was one individual, then you have a problem lav shebechlalot because bal taktiru mixato and bal taktiru kulo come from the same source in the Psukim. So what he suggests is that these are separate people that are all processing each one of these items. Each one of these different people can get Malkot. So someone's Makriv Miksato, and another person's Makriv Kulo, they independently will get Malkot. So you can end up with five sets of Malkot. It's not on the same person, it'll be on different people. But it says, Ibe Gavre, if you're correct about that, why does it say, Over Mishom Chamisha Shmeimot? He, in the singular, violates five restrictions. Ovrin mi violates. If you use a plural term, they say that they are in violation of these restrictions because it's talking about multiple people, not about one person. El b'shita b'chad gavro. So there it's pretty clear that we're dealing with one individual. B'tiyufta d'abaye. And that is a strong refutation of Abaye's opinion. And then if we follow the rules of b'tiyufta, that means that we would reject Abaye's position here. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, no. Apik aktarat miksato, va'ayo kabalatam. Says, I have a solution to the problem. Take out aktarat miksato from the five restrictions over here, and add in kabalat adam. And then I can get the five restrictions, even without including both baal taktiru miksato and baal taktiru kulo. Where it says, kabalat adam, the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda idlei. Wait, kabalat adam is not something that we heard from the Tanakhama. That's the view of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakhama lately. The Tanakhama doesn't have that. And the Gemara runs off, Kasha, that's a problem. Lishna Achrina, and the Rambam Ben Rambam claims that the Rambam didn't have this Lishna Achrina, V'adim is safe for Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, he Reisha Rabbonon. Well, the fact that the Bright has Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda in the Seifa, and he's the one who says that Kabbalat Adam is a restriction, then it's clear that the Reisha is not written by him, but the Reisha was authored by the Rabbonon. And the Rabbanan don't have a restriction of Kabbalat Adam, and yet they still say five. So that's Tiyufta de Abaye Tiyufta. Now that's a strong refutation of Abaye's position. What's important is that the Rambam over here paskins that if a person is makdish, a balmun mizbeach, and then does all the processes that we mentioned before, he says you only get 4 sets of makot, you don't get 5 sets of makot. We said before, the Braita says you get 5 sets of makot. Why is the Rambam saying that there's 4 sets of makot? He says because it's a lav shebeklalot, and a lav shebeklalot you don't get makot for. So David says, Baal taktiru mitzato, and Baal taktiru kulo are really only one lav, because they're a lav shebeklalot, get 1 set of malkot for those, not 2. And therefore you end up with 4 sets of malkot. That's the Rambam's psak. The huge problem with that Rambam's psak is, in this makot between Rava and Abaye, who's the opinion that says that lav shebeklalot in lokinolav is Abaye? When we have a makot in Rava and Abaye, we say, Abaye v'Rava, locha k'Rava, except for Yal Kagam. That means, well, except for the 6 cases, this is not one of those 6 exceptions. The halacha should be like Rava over here, not like Abaye. Why is the Rambam passing like Abaye? That leads the Kesef Mishneh to say that the Rambam's Girsa in our Gemara was actually the opposite. And that the Gemara over here had Abaye as the first opinion and Rava as the second opinion. And once you do that, then the Rambam is passing like Rava, and that solves your problem. And the Baal Tosafot in other places in Shas call this what's called Me'asugyot HaFukot B'Shas. These are the sugyot that get confused or upside down in Shas. And that is that there is a series of sugyot throughout Shas that Baal Tosafot bring a list of these sugyot, whereby in one Masechta, the opinions are lined up in a Machloket in a certain way. Go to the other Masechta, it's the same Machloket, but they've reversed the names. And they've been changed around. And this is one of those cases where you find a Bayin Rava in this machloket in numerous masechtot, and in different masechtot, sometimes the bay appears with the opinion that ain lokin alav shebeklalot. Sometimes it's Rova that appears with the opinion of ain lokin alav shebeklalot. So Tzotavol calls it a mesugyota hafukot b'shas. The Rambam, according to the Kesef Mishneh, had the alternate girsa, and that alternate girsa made him paskin like what we have as a bay in our Gemara, but for him was Rova, and that's why he paskin that way. The Ramban nevertheless says that that doesn't necessarily answer the question, because the Gemara just ended off on a Tiyufta on that position of Abaye, which supposedly the Rambam thinks is Rava. And why would the Rambam paskin like Rava when the Gemara ends up with the Tiyufta? Or why would we paskin like all over Shas that Ein Lokim Alav Shebeklalot if the Gemara here ends up on a Tiyufta? The Rav Avram ben Rambam, when asked this question about his father's psak, actually gives a different answer and says that, and that he does paskin over here like Abaye, what he calls Rovo. And that's because, and there's a Mesorah amongst the Rishonim from the Gaonim, that when a Gemara ends in a Tiyufta, that means that it rejected that view, and that has been dismissed as an opinion, and therefore we wouldn't paskin that way. The Gemara says Kasha, that means they have a question, but it is a refutable question, and it does not mean that that opinion has been rejected outright. And then he claims that the Rambam's Gemara ended in Kasha and not Tiyufta, meaning that we had 2 Lishonot here, the first of which ended with a Kasha, the second one ended with Tiyufta. According to Rav Avraham ben Rambam, the Rambam only had the first version where it ended with a Kasha, and a Kasha does not mean that we've rejected that opinion, and therefore it could still stand the halacha. That's why the Rambam paskin like what he calls Rava over here, because the Gemara's rejection is not really a rejection to the point where we dismiss that opinion, it's just a strong question that has an answerable question to it based on this Mesorah of the Geonim. And since throughout Shas we find that the Gemara does believe in Lukina Alav Shebeklalot, and here the Gemara only ends up with a Kasha, he's willing to paskin in that direction given the support from the other Gemarot that seem to say that we believe in Lukina Alav Shebeklalot. The Ramban in the Shorashim, in the Rambam's introduction to Sefer HaMitzvot, argues more fundamentally on the Rambam in dealing with the issue that we have here, as well as in the broader context. And that is, he differentiates between different types of lavin, and that is that sometimes we have lavin or alav shebeklalot, which is something like lo tochlu al adam, where Chazal interpret to have many different manifestations, including that you may not eat before you put the korban's blood is put on the mizbech. You can't eat from the basar. You can't eat before you daven in the morning. So all of these are restrictions that are learned from lo tochlu al adam. That's called lav shebeklalot, because it's a single lav that's interpreted for multiple different restrictions, where everybody agrees that you don't get malkot for it, because that's a lav that has many different manifestations, but none of the manifestations are similar in nature, and there are no details that are explicated upon in the pasuk, And therefore, that's called a lav shebichalot chalalot that everybody agrees you don't get malkot for. There is another type of lav shebichalot, which is found in the Gemara in Pesachim, the Gemara in Nazir, the Gemara in Menachot, whereby there is a lav in the Torah, but that single lav has manifestations that are detailed in the Pesukim. The restriction with regards to a person who's eating the Korban HaPesach says that v'achlu et basar b'layla zetz li'esh u'matzot amarim yochlu. Al tochlu m'menu na u'vashel m'shul b'mayim ki im tzli'esh v'shul akra v'al kirbo. So then the pasuk only has one lav, al tochlu. Yet included al tochlu is na u'vashel m'shul b'mayim, raw or cooked. Both of those are restricted. The question comes up is what happens if you eat both na and m'vushal? The word al tochlu only appears once. Does that make it that al tochlu m'menu na and al tochlu m'menu b'shel b'shel b'mayim? So there are two levin, you're going to get two sets of malkot, maybe even a set of malkot because of ki im tzliyesh. Or does al tochlu m'menu each as a single lav that captures both na b'shel b'shel b'mayim, and ki im tzliyesh is a something that covers any situation. So maybe in that situation you would get no malkot, maybe you get one set of malkot. That's the machloket in the Gemara in Pesachim, as well as the Rishonim's different interpretations of that Gemara. But that's a different type of lav shebichlalot. It's just a single lav that captures multiple items or details in it. Another example of that is in Nazir, where the restriction against what a Nazir can eat. And there it says, Kol Yemei Nizro, Mikol Hashay Yaseh B'Gefen Hayayin, Mechasinim Adzag Lo Yochal. So again there, it says, Mikol Hashay Yaseh B'Gefen, anything that comes from a great product, he cannot eat. But then it also mentions Chasanim and Zag. So then, what does that mean when it enters these details in? You have a single lav that's capturing these details plus a generic statement. It's very similar to the case in Pesachim, where you have a Kiyam Tzliyesh, the general statement, and you have Na U'B'Vashel Mushal B'Mayim. Here you have Kol Asher Yasemi Gefen, which is a general principle, and then you have Chatzanim and Zag, which are details, and then Lo Yochal, only a single lav associated with them. That's a lav shebichlalot. The Rambam doesn't seem to differentiate between them and really categorizes them all as one. The Ramban argues on it because of that distinction, which is, and since they are detailed in Pesukim, there is a machloket, and this will be the machloket between Abai and Rava, as to whether that's also categorized as a lav shebichlalot, because you do have a lav, you do have the Torah explicating upon it, and the question is, how do I view a single lav with different manifestations that are detailed in the Torah? Do I view that as being multiple lavin, or do I view that as a single lav that incorporates many details? And that will be the machloket about lav shebichlalot. That's a different type of lav shebichlalot. And then there's even a third category of lav shebichlalot, which is really our case here. And that's why the Ramban believes over here that we paskin that you get two sets of malkot, is because it's really not a lav shebichlalot over here, but rather there are actually two sources in the pasuk, one source for the lav of mitzato, and one source of the lav of kulo, each of which are parsed out of the pasuk separately. Restriction against being maktir kulo ala mizbeach actually comes from lo takrivu elo Hashem, and the bal takir mitzato comes from isheh lo titnu mehem. And therefore, according to the Ramban, there are actually two lavin over here, two separate lavin, and it's not a lav shebichlalot, and that's why you would get actually two sets of malkot over here, and it's not included, it's not covered by the issue of lav shebichlalot, and that's why you would get malkot on both of them. You actually would get five sets of malkot, not the four that the Rambam says. It's somewhat difficult because the Ramban is borrowing the word lo takrivu, which we already darshan for something else, but nevertheless, the Ramban does that in order to avoid the problem as to the girsa in the Gemara here, as well as to why we would paskin over here that you get malkot for both, even though we generally paskin that ain lakin al lav shebichlalot. Nevertheless, here we'll pass on like Rava and say that you do get Malkot, because this is different than even the other category of Lav Shebichlalot that the Ramban introduced. Alright, next Mishnah. HaKohanim Memirim B'Shelehen, Yisrael Memirim B'Shelehem. Kohen can be Memir, his own Korban, and Yisrael can be Memir, his own Korban. Ein Kohanim Memirim, lo b'chatat, v'lo b'asham, v'lo b'chor. A Kohanim can't create Tmura, not on a Chatat that a Yisrael is bringing, and not an Asham that an Yisrael is bringing. Even though, in the end, the Kohen is going to end up with the portions of this Korban, nevertheless, it's not his Korban. It does not belong to him. It belongs to the Yisrael. and therefore he has no rights with regards to making tumura on this animal. And in addition, the fact that he does get rights to the basar of these animals or these korbanot is mishulchan gavoa kazochi. It's not his own, being granted it from Hashem. And so therefore he doesn't have any balut over here that would facilitate his ability to create tumura over here. Velo bechor. And not in a bechor, which is going to present a little bit of a problem, because a bechor is one of the matnot kuna that's given to the Kohen. And then it is his korban. And then why is it that he can't create tumura over here? That's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri suggests over here. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Mibna ma ein mimirim bebechor. Why can't a Kohen do tumura by a bechor? Samar lo Rabbi Akiva. So now we know whose opinion it is in the beginning of the Mishnah. It's also not possible for a Kohen to do tumura with a bechor. That's Shitat Rabbi Akiva. And he explains, Katat v'asham matana l'Kohen. Just like a Katat and Hashem are gifts to the Kohen, u'bechor matana l'Kohen. And a bechor is one of the matnot kuna. Ma Katat v'asham emarim b'hen. Just like by a Katat and Hashem, the Kohen does not have a right to create tumura out of them. Af bechor emarim b'o. So too, a bechor, he doesn't have the right or the ability to be memir. In essence, we're creating a binyanav. The binyanav is what's true by Chatat Masham must also be true by a bechor. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, malo imenu memir b'chatat v'asham. How can you compare the cases? Right? Shein zachin b'en b'chayen. When it comes to chatat v'asham, they don't belong to the Kohen. It's not the Kohen's item. He never gets any possession of it until way after the korban is put on his back. The dam is nizrak on his back, and then he gets the basar afterwards. And even there, it's mishulchan gavoa kazaku. It's not even his. But while the animal's alive, he has no rights over here. Tomar bebechor shezachin bo bechayav. What are you talking about? The bechor is a specific animal that the Kohen gets as a matanah while it's alive, and he gets ownership over it. So of course he should be able to create tumura over here. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. So now Rabbi Akiva tries a different tact and says, Alok fanemar, doesn't the pasuk say vayahu? Utmarato yakodesh. When it comes to tumura, it says it, the original item, and the item you're trying to transfer the kedusha onto, both of them are kodesh. Heichan kedusha chala alav. Where does the kedusha devolve upon the animal? The beit habalim. That's where kedusha happens. Af tumura the beit habalim. So too, tumura can only take place in the beit habalim, which means that just like the ikar hakdasha of the animal, which is created in the Beit HaBalim, then Behu Utmurato. We compare that which is the original Kedusha to Utmurato. And just like the original Kedusha can only be created by the Balim in the Beit HaBalim, so too the Tmura can only be created by the Balim in the Beit HaBalim. And that means that the Kohen, even after he gets it as a Matana, does not have the ability or capacity to create Tmura. And even more striking is that the Israel, while the Bechor is in his possession, it would seem from Rashi and from the Rambam that you would be able to create Tmura, even though the animal is not yours, and it's a Matana, the Kohen, the Bechor is going to the Kohen. Nevertheless, when it's in the house of the Beit Israel, since that's where original Kedusha happens, and it's in Beveta Balim, you can create Tmura. And so that's a little bit difficult to understand. The Grach tries to suggest that the reason that is because you do have balut over it, which is you have a choice as to which Kohen you give it to. So you have a certain amount of ownership over this animal, the Tovat Hana'ah as it's known, over this animal. That's sufficient ownership to make it that you have the right to create the Tmura over here. And even according to the one who says that Tovat Hana'ah is not Mamon, still the Bechor, while it's still in the possession of the Balim, is considered the Balim's property until it's given to the Kohen. And that's why it's enough yours that you can create tumura over here, but it's also limited to where the Beit HaBalim, the house of the Balim, and not when it goes to the hands of the Kohen. Tosafot in general mentions that, didn't we say earlier in the Masechta that when it comes to tumura, tumura is determined by the mitkaper, the one who's gaining atonement from the korban. They're the ones that can or cannot create the tumura over here. So now, how come over here the Gemara is speaking about ownership in Beit HaBalim? What happened to mitkaper? So Tosafot says you have to read over there. V'yesh lomar, v'yesh lomar af batar mitkaper v'lav lafuke balim ati. And when we said before that tmura can be created by the mitkaper, That doesn't mean exclusively by the mitkaper. It means also by the mitkaper. Not only can the Baalim create a tmura, but also the mitkaper can create the tmura, and not exclusively mitkaper to the rejection of the Baalim. And now the Gemara says, Tanatam. We have a Mishnah in Maaser Shini. It says, Bechor, when it comes to Bechor, Mokrim Oto Tam Chai. While it's a Tam, it's alive, you can sell it, meaning that seemingly you could sell it to another Kohen, and this other Kohen would bring it up as a Korban in the Mikdash. Ubalmum Chai. And if it's a Balmum, you can sell it while it's alive, Vishachut, and after it is Shechted. Now the difference being is that once it's a Balmum, it becomes fully the Mamon of the Kohen, and then since it's the Mamon of the Kohen, he can sell it, whether it's alive or it's already Shechut. In either case, he can distribute it, he can have others eat it, he can sell it, it's his Mamon, he can do what he likes with it once it has a Mum in it. When it's a Tam, then it's Ra'oi to go on the Mizbech, and he doesn't have those types of rights. Now when it's alive, he can sell it. On the other hand, when it is already Shechut, he cannot sell it, and that's because a Tam Shechut is Kodoshim. And as Rashi notes over here, it would be inappropriate. Lav orachara lasot skora, the davar shekarev b'men l'mizbeach. It's inappropriate to do business transactions, commercial transactions, with an item that is going on the mizbeach or that went on the mizbeach. That's the case by a bechor tam. That's going to go on the mizbeach, or it went on the mizbeach, and the basar shachut that comes on the bechor, even though the kohen owns it and it's his, nevertheless, he shouldn't be trading in it. It's not the right way to treat something that is karev mimenu ala mizbeach. So that's why shachut is left out over here. But you have tam chai and balmum chai b'shachut. U'mekadshin bo aisha. And when it has a mum in it, you can be mekadesh and isha with it. So over there, what you see from that Mishnah is that the kohen has real ownership over this animal. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abua, lo shanu ela bizman hazeh. That Mishnah is only speaking about Zman Hazeh when they, Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. That's because the Kohen has real ownership over here. Because in the time of the Mikdash, if it was a Tam, then it would have to go to the Mizbeach. And that means that he really doesn't have any rights over here in the animal. If he doesn't have rights, then he can't sell it, he can't monetize it, he can't do anything with it. On the other hand, when it's talking about a Bechor Tam Bizman Hazeh, the only thing a Bechor Tam Bizman Hazeh is useful for is waiting for it to get a mum, and then it'll make it into chulin, and then you can utilize it for whatever you want. So, since today, a tam, his only purpose is to get a mum in it, or wait to get a mum in it, it already becomes the possession of the kohen right away. And since the possession of the kohen right away, he can sell it chai. That's why he can sell it alive. Now once again here, if you shecht it, it's problematic, because if you shecht the tam bizman hazeh, it's asur b'hana'ah, and then you can't utilize the basar at all. So therefore, what Rav Nachman suggests about this Mishnah is that the Mishnah is limited to a case of Bizman Hazeh. Bizman Hazeh, you're allowed to sell a Tam Chai, and a Balmum Chai B'Shachud. Aval, Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam, when the Mikdash was still extant, Keva the Tam LaKrava Hu Dekoi, since the whole purpose of a Tam when the Mikdash was around was to go on the Mizbeach, Ein Mochvino To Tamim Chai, you can't even sell it when it's alive and it is a Tamim. Eight ve'rov of the Rav Nachman's Rav Nachman's Talmid Mufak Rav says to him, "Mochrim oto tamim chai chai in shachut lo." So it sounds like from the Mishnah that you're allowed to sell it chai when it's alive as a tamim, but the inference you would make is chai yes shachut lo. If it's shechted, you can't. Eimat. When exactly are you speaking about a case where you can sell it while it's chai, but you can't sell it shachut? Ilem Bizman Hazeh, if you're talking about Bizman Hazeh, Mika Tam Shachut. There's no such thing as a Tam Shachut today. If you shecht the Tam, it's Kodshim Bachut, it's hugely problematic. There's nothing to speak about in terms of a Tam Shachut Bizman Hazeh. El Pshita Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam. Must be the Mishnah speaking about a case when the Mikdash is extant, and therefore there's a distinction in the din. Tam Shachut, you cannot transact in. Tam Chai, you can transact in. Uktane nami, and then you see from this, Mochrim oto tamim chai. And so now you see that he can sell it while it's a chai, or in essence, you see that the kohen has sufficient ownership over the bechor, enough to allow him to sell it. Rav Nachman says back to him, no, dolam bizman hazeh. No, the Brisha is talking about the here and now, when the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed and not around. Mitani, and your diok is wrong. Mitani mochrino to tamim chai in shachud lo. The Mishnah never says that you can sell it as a chai and not as a shachud. All it says about it is a chai can be sold. Now you wanted to draw an inference, so if you tell me a chai can be sold, that means that a shachud cannot be sold. He says that's the wrong thing. The only time we make a diok like that is when there's no chiddush in the first statement, then we said the diok that you make out of it is the chiddush over here. But here, the chiddush is in the statement itself, which is, ha-gufa ha-talesh mi'inon. That's exactly what it's coming to teach us. The bizman hazeh, nami mochim oto tamim chai. The whole chiddush of the Mishnah is to tell you, bizman hazeh, not only can you sell it, be'ezeh ba'amom chai b'shachut, you can even sell it as tamim chai. And so since the statement itself is a chiddush, then you don't have to even dayik anything out of it in order to justify its being in the Mishnah. Now, etavei, b'b'chor ne'mar lo tifteh. It says by b'chor in Parshat Korach, you're not allowed to redeem it, v'nim karhu, and yet, as we know, we saw in yesterday's daf, it can still be sold, b'mayaskinan. Again, what is that speaking about? Ilim b'zman hazeh, if you're talking about today, ema seifa, what are you going to do with the latter part of the pasuk that says, v'etamam tizrok alem izbeach? It says there in that same pasuk of lo tifteh, ach, b'chor shor, b'chor kes, b'chor eiz, lo tifteh, kod Hashem, etamam tizrok alem izbeach, v'etchalbam taktiri, shein reach nichov Hashem. Seems pretty clear that we're speaking about a b'chor b'zman abayit. B'zman hazeh, mi'ika mizbeach. There's no mizbeach b'zman hazeh. So it can't be that the pasuk in the beginning when it says lo tifteh is speaking about a b'chor b'zman hazeh. If by letter after the pasuk it's talking about putting it on the mizbeach, kol pshita b'zman shebeit hamikdash kayam, or b'mai. So then, what's the story? Ilema b'bal mum. If you're going to tell me that it's a bal mum that you can't redeem but you can't sell, then ema seifa. What are you going to do with the latter half of the pasuk once again? Ve'etamam tizrok al mizbeach, ve'etchalbam taktir, mi chazi la'akrova. This isn't roi to be akrova. So how can you be speaking about a bal mum? Ela b'tam. It must be we're speaking about a tam. V'ktani nimkaru. And it tells us that you're allowed to sell it. So once again there, you see that when it's a tam chai, that the kohen has rights to sell it, or he has rights in it. Unlike what Rav Nachman had suggested, that it's only true bezman hazeh when the kohen has real ownership rights in it from the outset. In other case, in the zman hamikdash, when it's going on the mizbeach, there, the kohen does not have sufficient rights to allow you to sell it. Yet, I'm bringing you over here from the fact that it says, b'b'chor ne'amar lo tifteh v'nim karhu, you can't redeem it, but you can't sell it. And we just deduced the fact that it's speaking about bizman beit hamikdash, and that shows you that v'nim karhu, that a tam can be sold by the kohen, it really is his. Mi de'iria, reishav v'amum, sefer b'tam. What are you saying? You can break the pasuk up, you can divide the pasuk up. The ratio of the puzzle is talking about a case of Balmom. The safe of the puzzle is talking about a Tom. And you just divide the puzzle. There's an etnachta in the middle. Ach b'chor shor, b'chor kes, b'chor eiz, lo tifde, kodesh heim. Etnachta, that'll be a stop. Et amam tizrok al mizbeach, et chobam taktiri, shereach nukhot Hashem. That's speaking about a b'chor Tom, not about a b'chor Balmom. If that's the case, then the situation in the pasuk when it says lo tifde, that could be a reference to a Balmom. And if that's the case, then Rav Nachman's statement is okay now, that it's only bizman hazeh that you're allowed to sell a b'chor tam chai, and not bizman beit hamikdash. And this will not be a disproof of that. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Chet Amud Aleph.